This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Idealists like to think of the little guy going to Washington and coming out on top. And every once in a while, reality reaches toward that idealism. It happened in a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling. The justices ruled unanimously in favor of Edward Lane, a former Alabama two-year college system employee who testified about corruption he saw and was later fired. They say the First Amendment protects his testimony. Well, someone appreciative of his First Amendment rights is Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald. He joins us here, as he does most Thursdays, to talk politics. And, John, good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Well, remind us what this Edward Lane case was about.
Edward Lane ran a program in one of the two-year colleges. He had one of the state legislators working for him in what we would call now a double-dipping job. And he, you know, demanded to know what she actually did for her work. I mean, he asked her and asked her and asked her, and she refused to tell him what he did. She didn't come in, all those sorts of things. He was subpoenaed. He testified before a grand jury. He testified in trial, and he was fired for that testimony. And ultimately, he sued. And finally, at least nine members of the U.S. Supreme Court agree that he his rights were violated and his First Amendment rights were. But no job.
But no job, exactly, you know, because he doesn't get his job back. He can't sue for damages. Legal experts say that this is a pretty narrow ruling. I mean, how big of a victory is this?
Well, it is. It cuts both ways. I mean, it will help people in his position in the future, which one would hope would have positive implications for keeping this from happening again. But on the other hand, you know, even the state of Alabama is arguing that he doesn't deserve his job back, that the people who fired him are protected. So, big win, but still not any help for him.
Well, you say that he does deserve his job back. Someone with the state should reach out.
I mean, absolutely. If there's ever been a case, I mean, you can talk to prosecutors who prosecuted those cases, and they'll tell you he is what he appears to be on the surface. He was just a guy who saw wrongdoing in the system and was willing to say this is wrong. He's exactly the kind of person you want, that we beg for in positions of leadership in this state where corruption has, we have lived through an awful lot of it here. If the state of Alabama, and let's face it, the people in power in government in Alabama right now, the Republicans who control Montgomery, swept in on a wave of saying we're going to clean this stuff up. I mean, it was that wave of corruption that changed political power in Alabama. We need ethical people in the state government, and why not him?
Well, obviously, the two-year college system is in the rearview mirror. We have had this sweeping change of sorts, but we do have a grand jury that's meeting in Lee County that's already ensnared several state lawmakers. What's your sense? Have things really changed around these issues?
Well, it appears that the people have changed, but the procedures have not. That's, to me, is all the more reason why we have to send a message that honesty in government is a priority for us, and we should do that every chance we get. Otherwise, we're just tacitly condoning corruption.
Also this morning, we're familiar with the idea of bonuses, particularly for Wall Street types. But top executives at Alabama public universities haven't done so badly either. They've collected more than $3.5 million in bonuses in the past 5 years, while at the same time, tuition has risen 40%. John, give us a little bit more context around these numbers.
A lot of this money has been paid out in what they call retreating pay to people like Matt Terry and Carol Garrison. I mean, that number you just gave, the $3.5 million. I mean, that comes to like 400 years of college tuition for students at the average 4-year college in Alabama. I mean, it's a stunning number, yet it is just business as usual kind of situation where we hand out money because, you know, that's the way it is.
You mentioned former UAB president Carol Garrison, former Alabama systems chief Martin Porterra. They get these retreating bonuses. How do they get these big bonuses for no longer working?
It's written into their contract that these things are given. And so it's kind of stamped as, you know, this is how we're done, and it's approved in that way. But, I mean, they for the longest time, the system would not explain what those retreating bonuses meant. Just because it is in the contract does not mean it is fair to the students or the system, who it just seems to be another part of this whole empire building thing.
Well, you've heard the argument that talent is competitive. We need to have these incentives to attract and keep talented people. It's expensive to run a college. College is still a good investment, so tuition, you know, increasing tuition is justified. How does that strike you?
Perhaps I'm biased for having had three children in college recently, but most people I talk to who do have that or who are trying to pay off student loans Certainly see it in a different way. And yes, there's an argument. Obviously, there's an argument for attracting quality people. But at some point, you've got to have some common sense in the mix as well.
Now, aren't we learning just from other people on campus? I mean, after all, we pay college football coaches hefty salaries and pay them for not coaching in some cases.
Yeah, and we have seen that go horribly, terribly wrong in a lot of different cases. I mean, the question is that the way we want to run our school?
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News, online anytime at al.com. John, good to talk to you.
Thank you. Good to see you.